It's always great when the mayor's here. He has precious time, and he chooses to spend his time here. It shows his loyalty and gratitude to his leadership team. But this morning, he just broke ground on five new international gates at the new terminal. There we go. Thank you. Congratulations. And he was able, and this is the first, they hadn't been the new gates, this is something since 1993, so a little while. So he got, and that's a true accomplishment. Secondly, he announced the direct flight from Tel Aviv to Chicago on LL. So let's give him a round of applause. There's a couple other things I wanted to say about the mayor, actually three things. I just alluded to one. The City Club is enormously grateful to the mayor and his wife, Amy, for both visiting and speaking at charitable events that we're involved in. Misericordia, Special Olympics, and it's never, well, it's always yes and when. And so that says a lot about him and his wife's commitment to civic and charitable leadership, and we're enormously grateful. The second thing, we're very helpful at these events to help raise, over the time he's been in there, millions for people and adults with intellectual differences. And the third thing, his frequent attendance at City Club events like today's for Gene Jones and encouraging his commissioners and leadership like Andy Zopp is deeply appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mayor?
Thank you. Thank you for that introduction, Jay. Thanks, everybody, for being here. That is when we broke ground today, just to put it in context, those are the first, as Jay just said, they are the first new international gates at O'Hare since basically three decades. And it's a precursor of what's to come with O'Hare 21, both the new terminal, the new runways, we're going to be adding another 25 gates in total and the capacity to keep adding. And by the end of next year, we'll have finished all the reconfiguration and have the most efficient modern runway system in the United States of America. And Chicago, if you don't know, busiest airport, and just got rated also the best connected airport in the United States and second most best connected airport in the world, right behind Heathrow. I do want to, well, John Hooker is here, and I want to compliment him for his leadership. But Megan Hart is also here. Deborah Parker is here. Dr. Mildred Harris is here. Francine Washington is here. Christine is here. I think I got everybody. So the good news, we're clearly in violation of the CHA. If you see more than two CHA board members, smile or share a cookie. Call the IG. They're in violation of the Open Meetings Act. Now, I want to say, Gene's going to give a report on CHA. And when you think about the fact that he, under his stewardship and John Hooker's stewardship, we ended the 50-year federal oversight of our housing. And we are very close to completing the plan for transformation. I'm going to posit an idea, and I'm hoping Gene puts a little more meat on the bone, but to give you have to think of CHA not as a housing authority, but as a community builder. And too often, and really when you look back at Gene's legacy and what he's done, and I can remember our first meeting in my office, and Megan was the one that identified, Gene, be quiet, no commentary about that meeting. Those are one of those things that we bury until we're about to write our book for a high fee, okay? But on a serious note, Megan had identified Gene, and the old way of doing work was just counting units built. But housing without a library, housing without a grocery store, housing without a transportation center is an island of housing isolated from a neighborhood. And under Gene's stewardship, the Marianos in Bronzeville, CHA land. The Jewel in Woodlawn, the first one in 47 years, CHA land. The excess tennis facility in Washington Park, CHA land. The Ellis Park facility in Bronzeville, CHA financial resources from the financing from selling the land to Mariano's, which is two blocks away. And what really has happened under Gene's leadership, and I can go down 20 lists. Somebody's on the way out going to tell me, you forgot about this.
Targeted Rogers.
Right there. I didn't even have to walk anywhere. The Target in Rogers Park. I was just testing you, Alderman. But what I'm saying to you is, 40 years ago, housing was about how many units you built. It's not wrong to measure the progress of a housing authority. Just look at New York. But the real measure of what Gene and John and Megan and the rest of the board that's here has done, the real measure is that they have reconfigured and be part of building a community. So if you go to Washington Park, there's new housing, lofts, there's a new excess tennis facility, there's a new train station, there's a Peaches Grove restaurant, there's a University of Chicago there, and that is what CHA is building. You go to Woodlawn, there's a grocery store. There's POA, our new housing. There's a new school. There's the racquetball squash facility and mentoring. And what happens? And also in Bronzeville. You not only have new housing, new train stations, new grocery stores that had never been in former food deserts, you have new schools, new park districts, all three communities, population's up, crime is down, graduation rates are up, and jobs are up. And that is what the true measure of Gene's leadership. He realized that CHA of old was just housing, isolated and basically only counting units. If you're going to build a place where residents feel part of a neighborhood and a community, you have to have all the pillars that build a residential and retail economy, so a neighborhood where kids grow up feel like a community. And I think that the legacy that Gene has built at CHA is to reinvent, rethink, and reimagine what a housing authority can be. It is not by itself just counting housing units, whether it's CHA vouchers, the Section 8 vouchers, or how many units you built. But when you put those units around with all the other pillars that build a neighborhood and community, then you build something where the residents that rely on public housing become part of a neighborhood and a community where they can raise their kids and their kids can go to school, go to an after-school activity, go to a sports activity, get on a train and make it to school, and then have a grocery store, a coffee shop, and a restaurant in their neighborhood. And then you're building neighborhoods, not housing. And that is what we all aspire for just for ourselves. And Gene has taken the heart and interest of the residents to place and made sure that, what they see in their neighborhood is like every other neighborhood, and they're not isolated from it and distant from it geographically, psychologically, and physically. And he has done an incredible job at reinventing and reimagining public housing in Chicago. Gene Jones.
Just won't stop. He just won't stop. Good afternoon, everyone. Now, of course, you know this is going to be an interesting speech, as always. But also, let me give my thank yous. I want to thank the mayor for his leadership, vision, and pushing us to do more and better. Thank you, Jay, as always, the City Club, and everyone coming today. It's just so good to be back. So, I talked to John Hooker the other day, and I said, John, three companies were after me, and I need to sit down and talk to you, talk about, you know, what should I do and look at maybe an increase in salary. So we sat down, we started talking. he finagled, we discussed it, and he says, okay, Gene, 5%. I said, okay. So as I was leaving his office and so forth, he says, Gene, he said, I want to ask you, well, who were the three companies? I said, the gas, electric, and the cable company. It's an honor to be here in front of you today, and so we got a lot of things to talk about, and I want to show you what my staff is here today. My board of commissioners are here today. I could not have done this without their leadership and support. And we've been so consistent in the city. It's nice to see my friends and my colleagues here. Again, I want to recognize Megan Hart. If it was not for Megan, ladies and gentlemen, I would not be here standing before you. Now, the only difference this time is that I don't have those reading glasses. I finally got bifocals in my contacts. All right, I want to start off by talking about innovation. CHA is leading the way in forming innovative partnerships to create new opportunities for people and communities from Rogers Park to Pullman, from Pilsen to Old Irving Park and beyond. Our new collated libraries and housing, nothing has been replicated across this country when we talk about libraries and public housing. Modern senior housing on the west side, that's on par with any market rate unit in this city. The Concord at Sheraton in Rogers Park, which has a target, as Alderman Moore has stated. If you've not been by there, you should go by there and see that. It is phenomenal. It improved that block and that community like no other. And Loyola University is across the street. I guarantee you that's going to be probably the busiest target, especially when the parents have to take those kids to school for the first time in September. All those things you have to buy. CHA's partnerships with other city agencies and stakeholders have enabled new ways to create housing, amenities, and economic opportunities that make a lasting impact on our neighborhoods and city. The re-envision and redevelopment of Lathrop, ladies and gentlemen, that was the first public housing development in the city, built back in 1938. Go by there right now. You'll see the before and you'll see the after. The developer, my staff, has done a fantastic job of redeveloping Lathrop. New housing in Pilsen, a first for CHA. Participation is the first ever flexible housing pool in the city and hospitals to address chronic homelessness. One of the things I want to say about former President Reagan is I think it holds true. CHA, we cannot help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Our reinvestment in housing is at the heart of what we do, but we do know it takes more than housing to build strong, vibrant communities. That's why we've invested in communities' assets like the new Pullman Community Center, new libraries and grocery stores and parks. Now, the mayor doesn't believe me, but we're going to put a supermarket, something, in Old Gale Gardens. If you know Old Gale Gardens is way out there past 130th Avenue, it's going to be the first time that we're going to put a supermarket there because it's a food desert now. And whatever happens, I'm going to make sure that happens before I leave whenever that day comes. And while we're also investing in people, we must target our resources to reach the people who need them the most, and we continue to do that. Our investment in our residents and an investment in the future, and not just the future of CHA residents, but our collective future, the city's future. This includes summer internships at CHA for our residents, both at CHA and businesses across the city. Providing access to college for our residents is paying dividends. Today, more than 7,500 CHA residents are enrolled in some 200 colleges and universities in 32 states across the country. Our challenges to those students is to move back here in Chicago and do the same thing for our other young people who aspire to go to college. Right here in Chicago, the successful and growing Partners in Education program with City Colleges of Chicago have resulted in 1,277 residents obtaining degrees at City Colleges. Since 2013, our scholarship program has awarded more than $1.2 million to CHA residents, helping them to attend and stay in college. One of the things I want to bring out that's very, very important is the programs like DePaul Documentary Filmmaking for Girls, which provides a window into the filmmaking industry, as well as film awards for some of the participants. So I have to thank Alex Pizzio from CineSpace. I'm trying to get him to let me do a reality show, you know, CHA, Chicago, or something like that. I'm trying. Other programs such as CHA's Youth Council in partnership with Mikvah Challenge continues to grow and gives energy and inspiration to our talented young people to bring about change. I meet with these young people probably every other month. We sit down, we talk about issues that affects them, not just CHA, but the surrounding community. They advise me on how we redevelop our communities and give an insight from a young person's advantage of what is needed in the development to make them successful. Now, see, I still look young. I'll be 64 this year, but I'm out of touch of those young kids. And so this is an opportunity for me to speak with them and have the opportunity for a CEO to sit in front of these young kids that has never happened before. I take my time. I make time for our students because it's very, very important to see a CEO and sit down and have conversation and dialogue. I know every one of them. We are also ensuring that our young people have access to technology so we can eliminate the digital divide. Our work with Chicago City of Learning enables young residents to learn about coding. I got to tell you a quick story. I had a couple of NBA players, some former, some who are playing now in NBA, who would like to come back to Chicago and build a facility to strengthen the IT for our young people. Now, I had to travel. I don't know who's a Golden State Warriors fan. Oh. So when I sat down and met with these gentlemen, these young kids, I mean, I shouldn't say young kids, young adults, I met Andre Iguodala. Okay. All right. And he's from Springfield, Illinois. They want to come back and invest in Chicago to provide an opportunity for young people and connect the NBA and provide those resources here in Chicago. Now, the only reason why they came here is because they heard about Gene Jones and CHA, that we do what we say we're going to do. We don't make a promise that we can't keep, and they know if we sit down together that we can figure it out and bring them here, and another feather in CHA and the surrounding community here in this beautiful city of Chicago. That's phenomenal. Annually, over 2,500 of our youth ages between 16 and 24 get paid work or learning experiences in the summer, totaling $2 million in income. We pay our summer interns $15 an hour. $15 an hour. All of this is intended to offer exposure and opportunity to new ideas and new experiences, like shared aquariums, the mobile aquarium that came to Oak Hill Gardens last summer, giving residents a chance to experience a cultural asset in their own backyard. I was out there. Oak Hill Gardens had the biggest participation to see that mobile aquarium. It is impressive. And the things I was telling to the president of Shedd Aquarium, how can we invest in this and bring it around through the whole city? It is phenomenal if you have not seen it, and those kids just really enjoyed it, and they did a phenomenal job for our residents who live out in Oak Hill Gardens. Springboard to success, you have a flyer in your chair. Our nonprofit affiliate was established to provide funding for a host of programs that support our college track youth to assist with preparedness and persistence. On May 16th, that is May 16th, 2019, we will hold our annual S2S fundraiser. I would love to see you there to support this very worthwhile effort. We're looking forward to raise, my staff says $250,000. I scratched it out and put $500,000 to support our summer youth programs that cultivate a path towards college. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to tell you, seeing those young people there and giving those scholarships away, and then we have a trunk, not a sale, but we have a trunk event, and we give them all the toiletries and everything else. That's because of the staff that has put this together for all these years. You just have to see those faces. I mean, they're just smiling and so forth. We have never had that opportunity. I'm talking about we who are old as me. We never had those opportunities, but these kids are just gravitating to just someone to help them, and we do need to help them. And as I'm the CEO, Chicago Housing Authority, that's what I'm gonna do. If I'm gonna be remembered by anything, it's about these kids. But let's not forget our seniors. Me again. As vibrant as our youth, our seniors stay active and engaged thanks to a variety of programs that keep them on the move. You see that? Who is that up there? Is he on the move? They're just great, great to work with. With all these efforts, it is our hope that our residents are learning and doing more, that our college students get jobs when they graduate, ladies and gentlemen. We work hard to link our students and residents to employers that offer job and career opportunities. Not really minimum wage jobs, ladies and gentlemen. We have to have these kids working in a great job and great opportunity to advance. That brings their self-esteem up, and we just need to do more and take a chance. CHA is strongly committed in preparing residents for the workforce through transitional jobs, vocational training, placement assistance, and the Section 3 and our job order and contracting programs. Our investment in the workforce and related programs have helped residents find employment opportunities and, most importantly, stayed employed. CHA households are achieving higher income and employment levels than ever before. 63% of Chicago's CHA's public housing work able residents are employed, on par with Illinois' labor participation rate. At the end of 2018, the average income, average annual wages earned by CHA residents was almost $22,000, up 5% over 2017, with 90% of the job placements in high demand industries. Our Section 3 field office, established in 2017, now serves as the blueprint for the way public housing Section 3 programs are managed throughout this nation. It provides training, employment, and enormous opportunities to low-income businesses, helps residents-owned businesses gain access to contracting opportunities, and offers support to Section 3 residents and businesses. These are entrepreneurs, ladies and gentlemen, and in 2018, CHA provided $127 million in our contracts to these small business owners, offering them greater access to economic opportunity. There's no other housing authority across this country, there's no other opportunity that provided an opportunity for entrepreneurships like Chicago Housing Authority. How we do it is because of the smartness of my staff and us sitting down and figuring out so this is to the betterment, not only the CHA, but the residents, and trying to move them off our program. That's the ultimate goal. Make them feel good and make them get an opportunity like no other. So let's talk about some more about economic opportunity, specifically how CHA is an economic force in our city. Did you know CHA is an economic engine helping to thrive a strong rental market in Chicago? Each year, CHA sends almost $500 million into Chicago's rental market for providing payments to almost 14,000 landlords in the Housing Choice Voucher Program, our Section 8 program. This not only helps low-income renters find housing of their choice in every one of the Chicago's 77 community areas, but keeps buildings occupied and neighborhoods strong and stable. Strong and stable neighborhoods you hear a lot about from a lot of people, and I'll chime in too. There's not enough attention on the south and west sides from the private developers today. While much of the focus on the north, where the prices are higher and profits are even higher, we need to shift the focus to other areas. CHA is doing that. And I believe, like we have done in Cabrini Green, we can rev up the development engine on the south and west sides and leverage our investment. Let me talk about the State Street Corridor, Brownsville in particular. It's on the Chicago's Magazine 2018 Where to Buy Now list among, and also Pullman. But I don't need an expert to tell me what I already know. I bet you right now that it's going to be the next hot neighborhood, as I'd like to say in the real estate industry. The redevelopment of the former Harold Ickes homes is underway just south of 22nd Street and extends to 25th Street in the shadow of the McCormick Plaza. 11 acres located along two CTAL lines, 877 new housing units, market rate affordable and CHA units, 65,000 square feet of commercial space with permanent jobs, 3,000 square feet of community space, and $95 million investments in the first phase alone. Now I got to say one more thing. I'm going to chime into the getting there. Okay, here's where the problem starts. A man walks into a bar and says, "Give me a beer," before the problem starts. He drinks the beer and then orders another, saying, "Give me a beer," before the problem starts. The bartender looks confused. This goes on for a while, and after the fifth beer, the bartender is totally confused and asks the man, "When are you going to pay for those beers?" The man responds, "Now the problem starts." As we get a lot of developers and a lot of opportunity people who have come to us and offer us some suggestions, that's when the problem starts. The new mixed income development, we breathe new life into the South Loop and help link it to the South Lakefront down to Brownsville, connecting to the Oakwood Shores community, where the next phase is already being planned. CHA is supporting the city's plans to bring a new grocery store to State Way and Pershing Road. All of this building on our previous investment at the former State Way Gardens, now Park Boulevard in Oakwood Shores, where the Ida B. Wells and Madden Park Homes once stood. Farther south, to complement the excess tennis facility in Washington Park, we're planning new housing nearby to continue the development south along the state street corridor. This is the type of economic impact we have, the kind of change we can deliver, and how our resources can leverage even more. It's how CHA is using resources strategically to help drive new development and bring attention to the south and west sides of our city, need and deserve for the development community. Last fall, CHA returned to the bond markets for a $325 million general obligation bond issue that will allow us to support our five-year capital plan for new mixed income, mixed finance developments, as well as provide funding for the CHA's own capital needs. I'm proud that our fiscal stewardship has resulted in investors' confidence and strong ratings and outlooks. We don't have that $400 million in reserve anymore. So we're still on our values. We're still on our financial wherewithal. We have a AA- bond rating, and we took that to the bank, and we received a $325 million bond. That's phenomenal for CHA. As you can see, this is a bright future ahead for CHA, for our city. For too long, people have thought and written about CHA as a problem. But I think now you hear a clearer picture of CHA as a $1 billion a year economic engine that does more to invest in neighborhoods and people in Chicago than ever before. It's for these reasons that we were able to achieve a historic milestone at CHA, the settlement of the 53-year-old Gautreaux order, ending 5 decades of federal court oversight at CHA. In 1966, Chicago attorney Alice Polakoff filed a lawsuit accusing CHA and the City of Chicago and U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development was in there for violating the civil rights of Dorothy Gautreaux and the other CHA tenants through a conscious policy of segregation and racial discrimination based on CHA's building and offering public housing solely in poor minority neighborhoods. Over the years, this has been one of the most important civil rights cases in United States history. Judge Marvin Aspin lifted the original order earlier this year, replacing it with a settlement agreement presented jointly by CHA and BPI. It creates a detailed roadmap for CHA to complete the Gautreaux obligations by July 31st, 2024. The agreement acknowledges all of the good work that CHA has done, replacing its large 100% public housing projects such as Cabrini Green, State Way Gardens, and Robert Taylor Homes with new mixed income communities, developing substantial new or rehabilitated public housing apartments across the city, and creating a voucher program to provide subsidized housing opportunities in the private market unit in all 77 Chicago's community areas, which now serves the greater number of the families. We didn't get there by ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We had many people who helped us reach our destination. Most notably, Mr. Polakoff. Alex Polakoff is not here, but my other colleagues, Hoy and Julie, will you stand up from BPI? I want to recognize those two. But let me say that Gautreaux is more than a court case victory. It underscores how much has changed in the way of CHA approaches housing and the responsible management of the authority. It is reflected in all the work we have done. Today is a different day. We have a new way of thinking, a new way of doing, a new way of seeing that the future, what the future can look like, not just for CHA residents, but for all of our communities, for all of Chicago. Let me quote someone from the former President John Kennedy. As we express our gratitude from our CHA staff, our residents, and our board, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not the utter, not to utter words, but to live by them. Thank you.
I appreciate our public servants when they are very humbly accepting a standing ovation. That was not easy for him, I could tell. So thank you so much, Mr. Jones. Do we have questions?
Be careful what you ask for.
I hate it when you guys do this. Okay, there's one. Graham, we can always count on Graham for a question. I want to note also, I did not see Dr. Mildred Harris. Had I seen you, you could have certainly done the invocation. It would have been like Sunday morning. You have a question? Oh, okay. Did you write it? Okay, so if you write it, then we can get it for you. We got a couple coming up.
Don't take it.
Here they come. Thank you, Andy.
Wow.
I'm a little biased, you know. If Andy gives me questions. So let's start with Don Davis. Hi, Don. Don is from the Bronner Group, and he is a City Club member, so I can't harass you. What do you predict will happen to federal funding for affordable housing in the next year?
There probably won't be any change in the funding, especially from the U.S. Department of Housing and Development. We receive probably about 98% of our funding. I know the President Trump has submitted a budget that is doing away with the capital side, CDBG, and also HOME. He's done that before last year, and Congress put it back in there. So I see it being the same from the past years to this year.
CHA was looking at developing land next to senior high-rises. What is the status of that particular initiative?
So the one we're working on right now is Wicker Park. And so we're getting ready to award that contract to a developer, and we're going to be looking at all of our other developments who have acreage that we can put some more affordable housing, also some senior housing. So you're going to see more to come. And also I did not mention is that we're looking at another innovative process, looking at not containers but modular homes, which brings the cost down, but we can put them in strategic areas that are closer to the transportation lines and provide some better opportunity.
Mr. Graham Grady asks, enough of those softball questions. And he finally addresses it. Gene, how will the Trump budgets affect the HUD impact towards CHA? There you go.
As I stated before, hopefully Congress is going to put back what he's trying to take out and so forth, because we just cannot I guess what I'm saying, Graham, is I'm speaking for my colleagues across the country. A lot of my colleagues are in dire straits, because if they reduce the budget even further, there's going to be a lot of housing authorities going into bankruptcy, going broke, because a lot of them are broke and so forth. They don't have reserves such as CHA. We are an MTW, which is a moving to work agency. There's only 39 of us. We have been able to use the flexibility of our funding to maintain the highest standards that we can to provide things for our residents. There is no other housing authority across this country that has housing as impeccable as CHA. And if you don't believe me, go around the country.
The CHA today is certainly not what the CHA was of 10, 15 years ago. So thank you for that. Adam Hechtman from Microsoft. Where are you? Okay. Make sure you raise your hand because I made up a rule myself. If you're not here, I throw your question out. First, he says, I applaud your partnership with Chicago Public Libraries for co-locating senior living. Second, what are your thoughts or what can be done to add more affordable housing in new developments and putting something in fund for off-site housing? I'm sorry.
I understand.
What can be done about adding more affordable housing to newer, non-affordable housing?
Okay.
Okay. Here's the right answer, but maybe no one will like it, and I always say this. The developers need to put more equity in the deal. And developers need to be educated about why affordable housing is important in or around the development that they're building. Now, they've already approved Lincoln Yards, and forever, you know, there's affordable housing. You know, people are saying that there's not enough. People are saying we're okay with it. There's never going to be enough affordable housing. The need is outgrows the supply. And unless we can figure that out, but what I'm saying is the affordable housing is on the south and the west, but it's not in the north. So how can we reverse that and start investing in the west and the south so the people in the north will want to migrate down to the south but not gentrify these areas? So that's what we need to start looking at, because the prices are going to be too high in the north. And I guarantee they're going to move down to the south and the west and try to look at opportunities. I want to beat them to the punch, because I think we need to create affordable housing, some great housing with better schools, better neighborhoods, and better parks, as the mayor has stated.
Carlos Ponce, are you in the room?
Carlos?
Okay.
Over there.
Oh, okay. I didn't see you over there. Hi, Carlos. I think he's kind of already answered your question about senior housing, so I'm going to move on to some other questions. Are you okay with that? Good. Janine Stevens, who's an attorney, says, what is being done to assist young men who have been incarcerated and are now free to getting their help and getting on their feet?
So I don't know all the particulars, but what I can tell you is that we are participating in a reentry program. We have set aside about 40 housing vouchers to address some of the needs of the reentry program to provide them housing. As you know, they need housing first, then they need to find a job. It's not a job first and housing. So we've made an MOU with a nonprofit. I can't remember off the top of my head, but we provide vouchers special set aside so that we can work with the reentry program, provide some opportunities here.
Breaking news, we have a bunch of great questions. I mean a bunch of great ones. I'm going to try to get to most of them. If I don't, I'll get the rest of them to Chief of Staff. Francine, who is a CHA resident. Are you here, Francine?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to answer your question even if you weren't here because you're a CHA resident, but everyone else would have gotten thrown out. I am asking everyone that knows you, Dean, to assist in his retention here at CHA. He's been a breath of fresh air. He's fair, and he has no political ties. Eugene can handle this and something else, but I think you're just speaking. So somebody needs to make some phone calls. So Mr. Rufus Williams, who is a member, he's over here somewhere on the right-hand side of the room. Your highlighted projects in Bronzeville, Elkhart Gardens, and other areas south, which is in the south, which is the first population of development. In that vein, can you speak more specifically about projects on the west side, particularly in North Lawndale?
I'm good, but I'm not that good at remembering everything. But as I talked to the board chair, John Hooker, and our board, we are going to start investing in the West. We have Pastor Hunter. I'm not sure if you know him. He's trying to develop something on the west side. We're going to support that. And anyone else who comes to CHA looking for the opportunity to do a deal, you know, all too often when they come into us, we'll just say no off the top of our head, and we're not going to do that anymore. We have not done that, but we're especially not going to do it this time, because there are ways in which we figured out for other developers how come we can't figure out for, you know, on the west side. I need to dispel a rumor real quickly. There's been a news article that I'm leaving to go to New York City. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I have not interviewed for a job and I talked to anyone for a job, any of that, okay? It's an honor for someone to even think about, you know, going to run the largest housing authority in North America. That's fine and dandy, but I have made my commitment to CHA and to my residents, to my staff, and also to my board.
You heard it here first at City Club.
Unless Oprah comes.
Andy, he just said, I'm just saying. Have you been talking to him or something? So Dr. Helen Gale asks, he has two questions. The first is, so what would have happened if he had a sixth beer?
He'd have been thrown out of the bar.
And so her question says, CHA has done a tremendous job of approaching housing in comprehensive fashions, but CHA can't do it alone. What are the most critical partnerships that you need to realize the goal of housing as a foundation for community development overall?
That's a real good question. It's the partnership.
I'm gonna answer it tomorrow.
Andy says she's going to answer that one tomorrow. But, I mean, what Andy's saying is what she's going to say. I don't even have to even think about what she's going to say, but it's going to be true. It takes a strong partnership. It takes leadership. It takes consistency. When you move out and in management and people change strategy and so forth, you're not going to get anywhere. Now, I know she's not going to like this, but I have to have Audra Hammernick stand up from Ida. She's been my great partner in Ida. But it takes the staff and their work that they do. Our work speaks for itself. A lot of my staff said, we're not getting credit, we're not doing anything. I'm not the kind of credit person anymore. I just don't. I'm too old now. I have to call my mom and say, Mom, look at this article. Look at those. I don't do that anymore. For my staff, it's important for them, and I try to cut away for that they can do this. It's not about Gene Jones. It's never been about Gene Jones. My staff knows I'm a very humble person. I don't take accolades too well. I don't take gifts. I don't take those types of things. My work speaks for myself. When people sit there and say, well, Gene, why do you do this? I do because it's a passion. Someone or God just wouldn't want me to go into the private sector. I'm always in the public sector. I don't know why, but he keeps me in the public sector for a reason. And the reason is because I'm so passionate about helping people, as I have been brought up to do.
Commissioner Deborah Parker.
She's right there.
Hi. So she actually just gives you another accolade. She says that thank you for caring, thank you for your vision and support, speaking to what you just said, and to the upward mobility of low-income housing and families. And she says we love you and you care so very much. Anita Ponder, where are you, Anita? I don't see her. Okay, I was going to answer her question too because she's. I see her. I was going to answer her question even if she's gone because she's my friend too. So, Anita's at QBWB Law Firm. Can you tell the contractors in the room how they can identify CHA Section 3 businesses and work with subcontractors and joint ventures for partnerships?
So, you have my staff here. You have our website that we talk about. We have a Section 3 portal. But I think I saw Claudia Weems here in Section 8, Section 3 staff, and also Dee Brookins. You know, people have sat there and said, you know, well, you're not doing enough or it's confusing and so forth. And we understand that. We started this program in 2017. No one across this country has invested in a Section 3 program, especially our job-oriented contracting, that my staff figured out to do to employ and to provide opportunity for our residents. Par none. I guarantee you most of these residents who have gotten these jobs and so forth, they're going to be millionaires one day because we keep cranking out work and they keep cranking out good work. And so those programs are going to be instilled. I just ask my residents who are entrepreneurs and so forth, start going to the city, start going to the county, and across this great state to get opportunities that are due them.
The last question is from Jacques from Jacques Hayes, the Chicago Help Initiative.
She's back there. Way back there.
Is Jacqueline?
Yeah, she's way back there.
I like your name. Nobody got that? Really? Nobody got that?
I got it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was just checking there. I thought you all were like throwing me some shade because, you know, I was like applauding Springfield. I'm from Springfield. What can I say? So, Jackie, you ask a question. And I honestly cannot read it. Can you say what this question is?
I'm just wondering if we should be happy or satisfied with the work that Ben Carson has been doing.
So let me respond to that. I will never speak ill of anyone, especially negative, especially to any secretary. But Secretary Ben Carson is an intelligent man. If you sit right there in front of him and so forth, he'll talk to you on any subject. Now, is he an expert in public housing? No, he's not. But there's been many secretaries that have not had any experience in housing and so forth. So he has a great staff who have helped him acclimate himself in housing. He has three things that he's supporting: Section 3, the rental system demonstration program that we have, and trying to employ our residents in a different opportunity and move them off the program. That's his mission. Now, you guys, I don't have to tell you that there are also other forces from the White House and so forth that the secretary can and cannot do. But he's doing the best he can. I have no negative things to say about Secretary Carson. He's been here for three times. He met with our chairman and some of our staff, and we talked about the RAD program, Section 3. He's been all for it. And they're writing new legislation right now because of Section 3 on how they can not intimidate but encourage my colleagues to provide more jobs in their communities and in their cities. But thank you.
Well said, Mr. Jones. I think today we've seen a great example of how public and private partnerships are working together. And he's given so many numbers it made my head spin, but I'm sure that most of you all took good notes. Did the CHA staff stand up? Do we?
CHA staff, come on.
Wave your hand, stand up, something.